Today, we're going to talk about men of faith. Happy Father's Day. Ladies, can you say that with me? Happy Father's Day. All right, very good. Let's get in this mindset. Today, ladies, I challenge you, honor your fathers, your husbands, the men in your life. Amen? Come on. Amen? Oh, come on. Guys, I pitched. They just didn't bat, okay? Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. We're going to look at a man of faith as our example. And that man, of course, was Abraham. It says, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to Abraham, Abraham, he said, here am I. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to the young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So the two of them went together. They came to the place of which God had told them. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here am I. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his sons. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I've sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemy. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do praise you because you are a wonderful heavenly Father. You are God, and there is none beside you. Today we're thankful for the fathers, Lord, that you have placed in our lives. The men of faith that have set the example. And Lord, I pray now for your preaching grace, that you fill me with your spirit, that I may proclaim, Lord, your word, that you speak through me. Give us hearts to receive it, ears to hear and eyes to see. And give us, Lord, hearts willing to respond to your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. The story that I just read of Abraham or the event. It's not a story. It is a literal event that happened in the life of Abraham. And that event in the life of Abraham just has always made me say, wow. I mean, what kind of man does it take for that when God says, okay, I want you to go and take your son, your only son, and I want you to sacrifice that son to me. What kind of man gets up the next day, does not argue, does not say, God, what's plan B? Does not say, God, I'm not doing it. But he just very simply gets up the next day, loads the donkeys, takes his son, and they head out for the place of sacrifice that God is to show him. What kind of man does that? A man of faith. That's the kind of man that does that. A man that has faith in his God. And you see, this kind of faith does not just happen. This faith has been developed over quite a long period, about 25 years at this point. Abraham is somewhere over 100 years old, and he's seen a lot of challenges, and every challenge in his life has served to build his faith a little stronger and a little stronger every step of the way. Today, we follow the life of Abraham, and we're not going to spend a lot of time in Genesis chapter 2. We're going to spend a lot of time building up to Genesis chapter 22. Today, we look at the life of Abraham seeking to learn lessons of faith for our men. Are you ready, men? Come on. Three's ready. Are you ready to learn lessons of faith? Men. Amen. All right. And a lot of what I'm going to say, it would apply to ladies too, but this is a pointed message. This is pointed toward the men, okay? Number one, men of faith will take the first step. In Genesis chapter 12, we go back to the very beginning of Abraham's journey with the Lord. It says in Genesis 12:1, now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I'll bless those that bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now notice the first thing I want to call your attention to. God promises to bless Abraham. However, it is conditional. Most people don't think, you know, what do you mean conditional? God said, Abraham, you leave your country and your family. You go where I'm going to show you and I'm going to bless you. Most people think, well, it's God's job to bless me no matter where I am or what I'm doing. No, it is not. The first need in a man of faith is the willingness to take that first step when God calls. God called on Abraham, and again, it's pretty amazing. He said, leave everything you have, leave your inheritance, leave your family behind. I'm going to show you a better land, a better place, and I'm going to bless you, Abraham. But Abraham, you have to take the first step. Now, I want to ask you a question, men. All men listening, say amen if you're listening. Amen. Are you saved? Amen. Are you saved? Very, very simple question. If you cannot say amen, Brother Doug, I'm saved. I have called upon the name of Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior, you're not going to heaven. And I say that in love. Okay? But the Bible says there's no other name given among men whereby men must be saved. That name's Jesus Christ. Have you called upon the name of Jesus Christ? You've got to take the first step. Well, Brother Doug, one of these days when I get my life together, you're never going to get your life together. Okay? You got to let God get you together. That's why you commit your life to Christ. Take the first step is my challenge. If you're going to be a man of faith, if you're going to be a man that's going to be used of God, if you're going to be a godly father, if you're going to be a godly man in the workplace, you're going to have to take the first step. The first step is salvation. Take the first step. Maybe you're here and you know you're saved, but you've never really gotten serious about God. What are you waiting on? Well, one of these days, take the step. Quit saying one of these days. and take the step. If God's calling you to preach, you know God still calls people to preach. God still calls people to preach. He does. We have a willingness problem. I don't know why in the world it took me like 3-4 years before I'd say, okay, Lord, I do not know. But that's our first thought. Oh, no, not me, Lord. You know when life got better is when I took the first step, said, Lord, wherever, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, that's where I'm going to go. You see, a man of faith is willing to take that first step when God calls. A man of faith, men of faith will build altars. I love the first thing that Abraham did when he got when he arrived in the promised land. Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. He's left his old homeland and he arrives in the promised land. Genesis 12, 7 said, then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And you know what Abraham did? It says, and Abraham built an altar to the Lord. Then, after a while he had been there, he decided he needed to go down to Egypt for a while, where he did get in trouble, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But he goes down to Egypt, and he comes back. Guess where he comes back to? He comes back to this altar. Then, he moves to another area of the country there called Hebron. And you know what the first thing he did there was? Genesis 13 and 18, he built an altar. What was the big deal about altars? Well, here's what it meant. First and foremost, it was a public declaration of his faith. Okay? Everybody who would see that altar knew that was Abraham's altar that he had built to his God, Yahweh, the one, the only true God. He didn't build a bunch of different kinds to a bunch of different gods. This was Abraham's one God. It was his public stand. Listen to me, folks. Listen to men. You've got to be public with your faith. Okay? First step to going public with your state, with your faith, you'll never guess, is baptism. It's our identification with Christ. You say, Brother Doug, what's the big deal about baptism? You see, when we lay you down in that water, it represents the death of Jesus Christ. When we lift you up out of that water, it represents His rising from the grave. The Bible says it's your identification with that. Don't you want to tell people who you belong to? Don't you want to get up and declare in front of hundreds of people that I am a child of God and I want the world to know it? Let me tell you, when you follow the Lord in baptism, you preach a message and you never even say a word. Men of faith make that public declaration. They have their altars. Not only was it a place of public declaration, it was a place of worship. It was a place of worship where sacrifices would be made. The name of the Lord would be called upon at those places. Let me ask you this, guys, are you faithful in worship? If not, why not? Why is it so hard for many men to be faithful in church? We think we've got something better to do, right? On Sunday mornings, there are so many in the world today, they'll send their kids with their wife. Listen, men, don't you do that to your wife. You be the spiritual leader. You be a man of faith and you bring your kids to worship. Number two, second thing, when you get here, worship. I'll be honest with you, I love you, and I say this with a smile, but there's nothing that I dislike more than seeing a long-faced man sit on the pew during a worship service. Go ahead, make me worship. Bless your heart. No, set that example of worship. I want to tell you, if kids look down the pew and they see their dad sitting there, never opening his mouth in praise to the Lord, never taking part in a worship service, that sets an example for them. Have you ever wished, boy, I wish worship services were more exciting? Well, it depends on you, men. Getting in there, taking a part, lifting up your voice in praise. But Brother Doug, I don't sing. That's okay. Make a noise. Lift up your voice in praise to the Lord. Let your children see what a man of faith does in a worship service. Let your children see that your faith is in this awesome God that you serve. Men of faith build altars. They go public. They worship. Then men of faith learn from their mistakes. Ooh, that's a big one, isn't it? Maybe I should have said, men of faith will make mistakes. Men, have you made any mistakes this month? See, we have this concept oftentimes that, you know, I'm above making mistakes. No, you're not. I'm a man. We don't make mistakes. Yes, we do. Listen, my past is filled with them. I look at my parenting, and I look back and I think, boy, I wished I had not done that. I wished I'd have been a little softer here, a little more loving there. I wished I'd have been better at listening to my kids. And you know, and I'll go down a long list. There's mistakes. Abraham made mistakes. You know, God told him, leave your family, leave the land, and go to the land that I'm going to show you. You know what Abraham did? He took his nephew Lot. Lot was part of the family. And you know the result of it? It was a problem from the very beginning. I mean, Lot and Abraham both grew in wealth, and there was contention between Lot's shepherds and Abraham's shepherds until the point they had to separate. And Lot separated towards Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what happened over in Sodom and Gomorrah. First of all, Lot was taken captive over there. Abraham had to go get him. Secondly, it got so evil over there that God had to destroy the city and literally had to drag him out of that city. You say, Brother Doug, you mean you don't think Abraham should have ever took Lot? I don't think he should have taken him. I think he was just asking for a headache by not listening to God. Then there was the Egypt ordeal. There's a famine in the land, so Abraham goes down to Egypt. And all indication, there was no direction from God. He just said, well, you know, I got to go somewhere where there's food. So he goes to Egypt. And the wonderful part about it is, when he got down there, he tells his wife, Sarah, these are some bad guys around here. And you're a beautiful woman. He said, they'll kill me for you. So I want you to tell everybody, don't tell them you're my wife. Tell them you're my sister. I wonder why she didn't deck him when he said that. You know, bad move, Abraham. Happened again. He didn't learn from his mistake the first time. Happened again with a guy named Abimelech. And then one of my favorite mistakes that Abraham makes, they would decide that, well, God needs some help with this making a family plan. And Sarah says, I've got a handmaid named Hagar. Abraham, I want you to take my handmaid Hagar and marry her and have children through her. Abraham said, no, honey, I would never dream of such a thing. No, Abraham said, okay. Sounds good to me. Caused all kinds of trouble in the household. After that, Hagar and Sarah were at odds, and they wound up kicking Hagar and Ishmael to the curb eventually. But I point all this out to tell you this. Abraham was a great man of faith, but he made mistakes. Listen, guys, fathers, men, one thing I've learned in the years of life is we're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. But here's the wonderful part. All those mistakes, and I'm sure there were others, but with all those mistakes, God never said, Abraham, you dummy, I'm through with you. Abraham, why don't you go back to the Ur of the Chaldees? And I can't do anything with you, God. Every time I turn around, you're messing up. God never said that. God kept working with him. There was always grace and there was always mercy before God. I point that out because sometimes men carry a lot of guilt. And we think, boy, I wished I had. And I shared with you as a father, I look back and I can write pages of, boy, I wished I'd done this better. I wished I'd done that better. As a pastor, I can write you pages. I wished I had done this better and I hadn't done that. And I can go down a list. But you know what I've discovered? Even in my imperfections and my failures and my mistakes, God never cast me aside. Men of faith know that. A lot of men, they make mistakes and they run from God. Suggestion: when you fail, run to God. Okay? Works much better. God knows that you're a sinner saved by grace. God has said that if we confess our sins to Him, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You cannot change the past, men. You cannot change your wrongdoings from 2 weeks ago, 2 years ago, or 20 years. But I'll tell you what, there's still grace for the future in your relationship with the Lord. Don't make the same mistake twice. You ever done that? Sometimes I'm amazed. People do the same thing over and over and expect a different outcome. You're not going to get it, you know? Once you see, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. Okay, forsake that way and go a different direction. Try something else. Don't make the same mistake. But also know that God is gracious. And He's there to make a man of faith even though you make mistakes. I mean, this was Abraham making mistakes. God had big plans for this man. I want to tell you what, God has big plans for you. He has big, Brother Doug, I have failed in a big way. It don't matter, okay? God's gracious. Confess your faults. Confess your sins before the Lord. Get His forgiveness. Get up off your knees and be a man of faith from this point forward. Other thing, men of faith will have doubts. Abraham leaves when he's 75 years old. The Chaldees, his homeland. And he travels to Israel, and the point of it all is so that God can build a great nation. Well, 5 years passed by. He and Sarah's had no kids. 10 years passed by. They still have no kids. 15 years, 20 years. Almost 25 years before there even is a glimmer of hope. And finally, after when Abraham is 99 years old, God appears to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. He says this. He says, Abraham was 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. Is he? He used that statement, I am Almighty God, for a reason. Because the next thing he tells him is, Abraham, it's time. You and Sarah are going to have a child. Now you imagine, if you will. Abraham is 99 years old. Sarah's 89. She's 10 years younger. So Abraham hears this, and you know what he does? He literally fell on his face and laughed. He did. I mean, here's a man of faith. I mean, God, I know you're God, but this is just too big for you. And so he just falls out laughing. And then a little bit later on, chapter 18, verse 14, or chapter 18, Sarah finds out and she's told, she hears, okay, you're 90, you're 89, he's 99, and you're going to have the child. It's time for you to have the child. And you know what Sarah does? She laughs. I mean, it's beyond, can God do this? This is a big joke. But you see, they didn't start out in verse 1, didn't go back to what God said, I am Almighty God. Then, after Sarah laughed in Genesis chapter 18, verse 14, God said, is anything too hard for the Lord? I love that part. See, you may be in that situation today where you've given up. Things aren't turning out like you expected it to. And you're just writing it off. Oh, well, maybe it's a marriage. I'm just writing it off. You know, I'm through. God can't fix this. Yes, He can. He is Almighty God. Okay? He can do whatever He desires to do. Okay? It may be a situation at work you've been battling for 20 years and you've just learned how to live with it because it's not going to get any better. Listen, if you're a man of faith, your faith is in Almighty God. You see, I think that's one of the great hindrances in men today. We think that if we can't do it, nobody else can. You get that feeling, you know? Well, I just can't do it. So, no, listen. This is God, the creator of the universe. And you think your little problem is too big for Him? No, sir. If He could speak the world into existence, He can take care of your problem. Well, Brother Doug, why hasn't He taken care of it? Well, listen. I do not sit up here and tell you that I know God's will for your life and He's going to take care of this every issue in your life. I don't know, but I am going to tell you, if you're a man of faith, if you'll trust in the Lord, He'll work it out for your good. He will. How do I know? Because the Bible tells me that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. Men, don't lose faith. Don't doubt. Don't come to that point where that faith is no longer thriving and growing. You'll have doubts. Yes, I understand. You think, boy, I don't know if God can handle this. But the neat thing is, you're going to discover He can. He can handle it. And then finally, men of faith are tested. I always love it. I don't realize we haven't spent a lot of time in chapter 22, but I always loved this example that Abraham had went through, this testing of his faith. You realize that had Abraham gone through this 25 years ago, if God told Abraham 25 years before, you're going to have a son and I want you to go sacrifice him to me, you know what Abraham would have said? He'd have said no. You know why? Because he was not to the point where he was ready for it. Point this out to you. Everything that happened in the life of Abraham happened to grow his faith. That is not unique to the life of Abraham. Everything that happens in your life happens for a reason. Every challenge to your faith, every hill that you climb up, every problem that you face, every child issue that you face, everything happens for a purpose. And God's purpose is to build you into a man of faith. That's the point. And that was the point to Abraham. And so when God told him, offer your son, at this point, Abraham has seen the hand of God do so many mighty things that he's not questioning anymore. Okay, come on, Isaac, we got something to do. We're going up to the mountain. And he goes up there, he builds the altar, he lays Isaac on the altar, and he literally lifts the knife to slay his son. And God Himself had to stop him. Abraham! Abraham! Stop! And then God provided a lamb. You know, the last part of that, it says that God provided this lamb, Abraham sacrificed this lamb, and God said, now I know that you fear God. I've always wondered about that statement. Because God knows everything, right? You know who needed to know Abraham needed to know. He needed to know that he could go through the fire and come out the other side, still trusting God. Abraham needed to know that God's grace would carry him through and that God would keep his promise. You know what? You know how Abraham did it? I mean, let's face it. If anybody was asked to do that and sacrifice their son, you know, they would say, no, I'm not killing my boy. But Abraham knew, if you read Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham knew that if God asked him to sacrifice his son, that the same God that asked him to do it could raise him from the dead. Abraham knew that when they come off that mountain, he and Isaac would come off that mountain just like they went up. He wasn't going to carry some dead son down off that mountain. He wasn't going to leave Isaac's dead body up that mountain. Abraham at this point knew that God keeps his promises. That's the final thing that we need to learn as men. Listen, our faith will be tested from time to time. We'll be put to that point that will reveal what we truly are. But you just know this. When that test is happening, when you're going through, you're saying, this is just almost more than I can do, you look forward to the faithfulness of God when you come down off this mountain victorious, having passed the test. One final verse I want to share with you, then we'll close it. But in Genesis chapter 25, verse 8, Abraham's at the end of his life. And the New American Standard is the best translation that I can find for this particular verse. In Genesis 25:8, it says, "And Abraham breathed his last and died in a ripe old age, an old man satisfied with life." Isn't that the coolest thing ever? Abraham died a ripe old age, an old man, and satisfied with life. And he was gathered to his people. You don't see a lot of men in the world today who die satisfied with life. You see a lot of grumpy old men, but there are very few who come to that point that when death comes, they are satisfied knowing that their God has been faithful to him, to them, and that they have been faithful to their God. This morning, challenge: are you a man of faith? If you are a man of faith, you're making a difference in the lives of the friends and family around you. And I'm talking about making a difference for the glory of God. Are you making that difference, men? I want to tell you, I think Victory Baptist Church has some wonderful men. Come on, ladies. We have some wonderful men. I'm not joking. All right? We have some wonderful men. But I'll tell you this also. We have men who need to grow in their faith. Pastor is at the front of that line. I need to grow in my faith. You need to grow in your faith. Let me tell you what, you're not going to grow in your faith unless you are a man of faith. I said and asked you the question today in the very beginning, are you saved? Oh, listen. God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's for you. Christ died for you. Well, why did he die for me? Because you're a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that sin has separated you from a holy God. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth, and he went to the cross of Calvary, suffered, died to take your punishment. But the good news is, yes, he died on that cross. Yes, they buried him in that grave, but 3 days later, he came out alive and very well. And because he lives, we too shall live. All those who place their faith and their trust in him. Are you saved? If not, will you take that first step today and come to the Lord for salvation during this invitation? Are you baptized, men? Women too, for that matter. If not, will you take that first step? Is God calling you to a ministry? Youth ministry? Calling you to preach? Calling you to teach? Calling you to an outreach ministry? Listen, take the step. That is the biggest problem, I believe, in churches today, is that first step. Let me instruct you. Take one foot and put it in front of the other. And come. You take that first step, the second step will be easy. Third step will be really simple. And before you know it, you won't even know you're stepping. You're just heading in the direction of Jesus. Let Jesus have His way. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for this day in which we honor our fathers. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bless the men of Victory. Give us a zeal, a passion for your work. Help us, Lord, to be men of faith, to learn of you, to grow in you. And Lord, I pray that for those that you're calling today, whether it be to salvation, for baptism, or to a specific ministry, I pray that right now you'll give them the boldness and the heart to take that first step and respond to your call. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Would you stand?